Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sense. I can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing, online marketing, social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business? Hey, welcome, everybody. I've got an awesome guest today. His name is Matt Basek, and he is just a master at finding and generating leads. And I actually saw one of his presentations at NAMS, and it just absolutely blew my mind. So I'm really excited to have you here today, Matt.
Yeah, well, I'm excited too, man. I'm really excited, actually.
This is super cool. So tell us a little bit about your backstory.
Yeah, well, I mean, just let everybody know, I got started, I got started in business years ago, back to when I was about 12 years old. So, but, you know, it's kind of funny, actually, it's about that really quick. I mean, it was kind of interesting because, you know, I was born in Youngstown, Ohio, right outside of Youngstown, Ohio. My dad worked in a steel mill, my grandfather worked in a steel mill, my great-grandfather, you know, like I come from a long line of mill workers and miners. Wow. And I was joking around with my wife. We actually just went home to see my grandma a couple days ago. And I was joking around with my wife, and I said, well, she wasn't there, but I was telling her, I was like, you know, I went from mills to millionaire. it's kind of funny, like really getting back into where I grew up. But, you know, I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. You know, we worked really hard. We were lower middle class. And my dad told me when I was a kid, you know, like we didn't have budget. We barely had small budgets. And he was like, well, if you want to go get all that stuff so you can be cool at school, you know, you're going to have to go work for it. So I picked up a paper route. I actually picked up a couple. Interesting enough, when we were in Ohio, we actually drove it. And brother's like, how do you know all these roads? I'm like, Jay, I used to, you know, my brother, I'm like, I used to ride these. But, you know, but the crazy thing is, and about that, and the reason I'm bringing that up is because if for some reason I got a great idea. You know, I was making good money doing that. I was buying baseball. I was actually, interesting enough, I was buying baseball cards, and I was investing in mutual funds when I was 12. So wow. I was taking my money from paper routes doing that. And I was like, I want more money to buy more cards and to buy more stock. So at 12. So, you know, because one of the great things I had, and I'll share this with people because I think I haven't talked about this in a while, but just because I just left where I grew up, it just went back to my mind because I saw it. But there was an old folks home and used to be on the front first of my ride. And when I discovered every time I went to their doors, people would come out and want to talk to me because nobody actually came and saw them. And I was the one they can guarantee that's going to be there every day. So I ended up moving to the end of my ride, you know, going around delivering papers on my bike, and because I could be with them. But one thing there, like they taught me a lot of stuff. They're like, you know, if I was a kid with the money you had, I would, you know, I would invest, I would build a company. Or if I was a kid with the money you had, I would, you know, I would do this. I would invest in stocks. I would do this. I would do that. And they told me all these things they would did. And it was like all these woulda, coulda, shouldas. And it was like, and I remember that because we actually, I mean, it's funny because I told my wife they're selling it, but there was this place called the Old Mill. And, you know, I went over there. I remember one day I said to myself, I was riding my bike, and it was after I was done, I left them, and I was like, I never want to be like those people. You know, they, like, regret everything in their life, you know. And I was like, I don't want to be like that. And I remember going down to the old mill and the waterfall, and I sat there, and I was like, you know, I was just like, look, I am never going to be like this. I don't want to be like my father. I don't want to be like my grandfather. I'm going to change things. And I was about 12 or 13 years old. You know, fast forward to, you know, about 1999, I was doing stuff on the computer, but I wasn't really doing anything. And I finally said, you know what, I'm going to turn this computer into a money machine or an ATM machine. And I started, started going out and started, selling stuff on the internet, and actually became one of the fastest. I was actually the top three selling person for the game Cashflow 101, I can't remember what age that was, but I was one of the early starters with, if anybody knows the Rich Dad Poor Dad, I used to work with that organization. Actually, I was a facilitator, and I was the number three biggest facilitator. I think I was one of the top sellers of the actual game when it originally hit the market. And that led to a lot of things for me. The early stages was Kiyosaki. I worked early on with Tony Robbins and all those guys. And later on in life, they started calling me the powerful promoter because I was putting on all these huge events and filling people up through email. And nobody was doing email marketing the way I was. We used to actually, getting back to the space of email marketing, most people don't know the history of it. Back then, like today, we got sales letters online, which people, you know, go to, we send them a short email, they click on a link, they go to a page, and on that page, is the sales letter. We used to actually send those sales letters in emails to people, like, because we took the idea from direct mail, and we're like, you know, in direct mail, we send people these long letters in the mail. Why don't we do it in email? So that's actually how we did it until the spam filter started coming in. And, you know, started playing, and corporations weren't allowing or the emails going through, because actually they banned most of them, basically had all HTML emails going to the spam box or never getting delivered. So we had to overcome that. And how we overcome that is, there was a group of us were sitting there like, how do we overcome this? Because we can't get our emails delivered. So we actually started writing regular emails, these what people see today, which is those short little emails, have people click on links to go to the pages, and we put our sales letters online. That's kind of like the history most people don't realize of, you know, what we see today is these short emails, but they don't realize that's where kind of, you know, the start of it was. And, you know, from there. But so in that frame, I learned really early on, you know, when you got a bookshelf full of great products that you can't sell, I had a closet full of stuff I couldn't sell. If you don't have people to sell to, then you're pretty much screwed. And that's it hit me one day. It's like, you can have the greatest product in the world sitting in your closet, sitting in your garage, but if, you know what, if you don't have people that are desired or want it, or even have people to sell it to, then you're screwed. And I said, why don't I flip the table around? And I flipped the table around. I started building lists. I started doing things, and that was, you know, that was kind of the beginning of, you know, the beginning of, like, holy crap, this is how it really works. Is, you know, getting, you know, being able to create control markets and being able to make a lot of money, and it's all through the power of email. And I found it's one of the most profitable things I ever did. And that's kind of a long story to get to, you know, I think where we're going to go in this conversation.
But it's awesome. It's an awesome story. And it really kind of frames exactly what I'm looking for. So, you know, everybody obviously needs leads, but how did you generate, I mean, how did you find these people to buy things? Because I think that's one of the biggest challenges people have is, you know, yeah, you got great products and you try to build the list, but a lot of times the people on the list don't want or need your products, you know, because that you build it through other stuff. How do you find the people that want to buy?
That's interesting. Somebody actually made a comment. I was just, right before we got on this, I was talking to somebody on Facebook, and I made pretty much the same as that comment you just made is, you know, a lot of people look at, you know, it's quantity. Hey, here, I just wrote, like, this is what I wrote to somebody. I said, the funny thing, and this guy was talking about, he said, I have an email list around 250 subscribers that shows 100 plus sales, but I have an email list of, you know, 10,000 subscribers shows 10 sales. And I wrote, you know, and then people were talking about it, but my response was, the funny thing is that even though you speak the truth, most people don't hear it until they see the results for themselves, meaning that I got a list of 1.2 million people and I've got a list of 10,000 buyers. When people hear that I have 1.2 million, they hear that, and 99% of them discredit the 10,000 that blows 1.2 out of the water every time. However, the wrong promotion to any list results in the wrong results. It's not just about quality, but it's also about an offer list match. And that kind of answers that in a sense, but that's one of the biggest things that most people don't do is they don't set themselves up at the beginning to win, and they try to be everything to everybody. And, you know, so I've been in different worlds, but everybody knows me in the information world. But the one thing is, in all those worlds, every single business, you know, what I found is, you know, and even when we think about this, according to the Small Business Association, 95% of small businesses fail within the first 5 years, and many people hear that, and that's been told. And I believe one of the main reasons for this is because businesses fail because of the lack of clarity to define their target audience. And I really truly believe that. You know, if you ask a lot of small business owners, because I know a lot of people that are listening are small business owners, and it doesn't matter if you're a small business owner or not, this all holds true, but if you ask, you know, many small business owners, you know, you ask them what their target audience is, they'll say to you, like, oh, it's a home, stay-at-home moms, or it's college students, or it's middle-aged men. And the problem is that's way too general. You know, even if when you're beginning to start building your list, you know, you do something that's way too general, you know, of an audience to get the end result, to be profitable. And so, and the reason I bring that up is because some will even say that they don't even have a specific audience, mm-hmm. you know, for their products or their services. And, you know, it's a mistake that's, you know, all too familiar to thousands of people and aspiring entrepreneurs. And, you know, so the big thing is when you try to, and I was kind of alluding to this, but when you try to speak to everyone, you're speaking to no one. And right. So, And that's the big thing. But the answer to that is really comes down to, you know, not using generic terms or language in your marketing material. And not only that, but to make your products or services stand out in the market. But it is really, it's creating an ideal customer persona, or maybe what we call the avatar in marketing. Mm-hmm. It really, really, what it does is it helps, you know, guarantee your marketing efforts and, you know, are more targeted and also more cost effective. And the issue with people building lists or even markets, getting into markets, is they're not truly clearly defining who in the world they're doing. Like, oh, I want to focus on internet marketers, or I want to focus on small business owners. You know,
right.
It's hilarious to see, because you can't win that way. And plus, the people that actually, you know, really control that market, they're going to see you as a threat. And if you come in, you know, with a really divine target audience, then what's going to happen is you're going to be able to open yourself up to be able to skyrocket in the market. Give you an example. When I first started getting the information teaching, when I started teaching information, I was doing stuff, selling stuff. But when I started teaching, people would come on asking me. I did not want to compete with being an internet marketer or teaching people internet marketing. I started focusing on list building, and that allowed the people that were big and focusing on marketing and internet marketing to accept me. But if I came in and said, oh, I'm teaching people internet marketing, they saw me as a threat. And I found the fastest way for anybody to really skyrocket in, you know, especially if you're an author, speaker, coach, consultant, or in that world too. But even with business, it's not like if you have a piece of an element that helps, you know, the other guys, you know, succeed, you know, and you're not as big a threat, they're gonna, you know, pull you up to higher heights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's say we have a niche. We know exactly where we want to go. Mm-hmm. Let's say it's left-handed bakers of scones.
Okay.
How do we find them, and how do we get them interested in what we have?
You've got to really get into, so if it's, you know, left-handed bakers of scones, you know, what you really want to do is really, I mean, you got to sit down and brain dump as much information, you know, that you can think of in your research about them, you know. So it's like, and you want to name them. Like, what I found is I actually name them. So you might want to call this left-handed baker, let's call him, you know, John. So, you know, like John is a left-handed baker of scones, but now we got to find out where they, you know, we want to sit down and say, okay, what kind of organizations do they belong to? They belong to this, or they belong to the scone, you know, scone organizations. Do they belong to a banker organization? Where are they? I mean, what things do they have? You know, who are, I mean, and basically, I mean, what are they, you know, what are they watching? What are they listening to? All those different things, because that, in a sense, really gives you a clear indication of where to go. Because everybody's like, oh, Facebook's really hot, let me go to Facebook. Well, if, you know, if you go and search their organization, you find out their organization has nobody signed up there on Facebook, then it might not be, if you find that everybody belongs to the same organization, which is the Left-Handed Baker Association, let's just call it, you know. Mm-hmm. But if the Left-Handed Baker Association does not have anything on Facebook, then it's not a place to go. If you go to LinkedIn and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, over here, the Left-Handed Baker, you know, the Baker Association is like everybody's over here. Well, guess what? That's probably where you want to aim your marketing to. You know, I've got a client that another client actually I was talking to yesterday, and he's in the weight loss niche, and he said it's interesting because he goes in deep into his target market. And by the way, he just did like over $100,000 yesterday on Facebook.
Wow.
Just on Facebook alone, running ads. He said my ROI is like 150%. But he's running these ads, and he's like, here's the thing I do. He said, I get so deep into my target market. He's selling you know, weight loss and information and stuff like that, or weight loss stuff. And he said, I'm getting so deep inside this. He goes, one of my best ads, he'd say this, but one of his best ads that he runs is where he's targeting women that want their husbands to, because he's like, that want their husbands look at them, so they're married, look mm-hmm. at them the way they used to look at them when they got married. And that's kind of the way that's what's drawing these people in, and that's why he's selling a lot from, because he got down to it and he realized that here's who I'm focusing on, here's who we're targeting, but here's the things that are keeping up at night, here's the subconsciousness, you know, of them, of saying, you know, like, it's like they're just a, you know, they look at their husbands and they feel like their husbands don't, you know, you know, don't look at them the way they used to. And so once he started identifying that's what, you know, these people really, his target market really wants, you know, and he's like, I give them the solution, like, here's the solution, you know, so that your husband can look at you the way it was, and the way it was at the beginning. So But it's interesting, like most people don't go into, you know, the psychographics of their target market to the point where they can get people to, you know, get people to come in. You know, a lot of people focus on the demographics, but not many people focus on the psychographics. And those psychographics are really, really are really sometimes the best ads you're ever going to write. It's going to help tell you where they're going to be sitting on the internet so you can go after them and get them.
Wow. Oh, man, that was some awesome, awesome stuff. Thank you so much. So, Matt, you've got a system that's going to help people kind of get their arms around this a little better. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So, you know, the one thing is we were, you and I were talking before we got on here, and we thought, you know, maybe one of the, out of all the things that I have, you know, out there, I've got this a little product. It's nothing big. I mean, it's a dime sale. So just so you let you guys know, it means it starts off a very low price and it moves up from there. I'm only saying that because guys, it's not like it's going to cost you more than $10. So it's like a cup of coffee, right? So,
right.
But it's really going to help a lot of people. And basically it's called Opt-in Overdrive. And it, what it does, it gives you really secret knowledge behind the scenes of after doing about 100 or 10,000 split tests, and it's really how to people will be able to discover, or you'll be able to discover how to instantly squeeze up to 450% more subscribers out of opt-in pages or lead generation pages, by the information that you're going to get inside there. So it really tells people what to do, and it'll allow you to put even more subscribers on your email list than you've ever seen before. So it's really cool, and there's three other bonuses that you'll love from it. But what we did is it's pretty cool. So it's like less than, I don't know, I don't want to say where it's at right now, but we'll tell you it's less than $10. It's a great place for people to be able to go and to grab, but it's called Opt-in Overdrive, and it really be able to put, so you can help you get more subscribers, a lot more subscribers, and build your list even faster.
Matt, this has been fantastic, man. I really appreciate it, and I know my audience is going to, man, they're going to have to listen to this one at least 3 or 4 times because I know they're going to take notes like crazy.
and put it on slow speed because I talk too fast.
I love that. And that's a beautiful thing, man. On a podcast, you can put it on double speed. You can put it on half speed. So it's like,
I know. I love it.
That's great, man. Thanks for joining us today. Great, great stuff.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.